Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
Melissa Workman is the executive director of the Children's Advocacy Center of Kent County, where she is part of a team committed to seeking justice for and reducing the traumatic impact of sexual abuse for child victims. In her spare time, she is a partner with Green Square Consulting, offering businesses advice, and I quote, in her spare time, she's a mountain biking coach, especially loves helping people new to the sport feel more comfortable and safe on the trail so they can have even more fun. Work hard, play hard, I bet. So let's talk to you, Melissa. Welcome to Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Hi, Shelley. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Isn't the art of riding, safe on a mountain bike like the seat, or at least comfortable? Yes.
Look where you want to go.
Well, I know you also have a title of World's Coolest Grandma, so we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope so.
Yes. Well, you're vying for that.
I am vying for it.
I have to start with the tough question, if I may. Why your career with much of your problem solving around sexual abuse and children?
Most of my life, have wanted to find a role like this. I had a fairly, we'll say, tumultuous childhood and really felt like when I was able to, I wanted to get to a place where I could advocate for other kids to ensure that they had a bright future and weren't impacted by any trauma or abuse that they experienced.
So with your past, do you seek out when I'm over 40, I want to be an executive director of a children's advocacy center?
No, well, I say this was the job.
You may not be over 40.
Oh, okay. I'm well over 40, but thank you for thank you for wondering. No, I say this was the job that wouldn't go away. I was not necessarily even looking when this job opportunity presented itself to me. And actually, a couple of women in the community, powerful in and of themselves, Meg Durr and Kim McLaughlin, reached out to me and said, you really should think about this position that's open at the Children's Advocacy Center. And I was like, well, I'm not really looking right now. And they're like, no, we really, really think you should take a look. And the more that I looked at it, the more it sort of pecked away at me. And as I began to meet people there, the board, the staff, the partners, and got to know more about their work, it went from a job that I was like, meh, to if I don't have that job, I'm going to be really disappointed because their work was just so impactful and really resonated with me. And I wanted to be a part of it.
Yet not all jobs are recommended. How does one discover their true passion and their true calling?
Listening to themselves. I think as women, in many places and parts, we're raised to do what is right and what is expected of us. And many times that's in conflict with what our hearts really want. And I have really been grateful that I've always had to kind of figure things out on my own, but that there's a lot of beauty that comes with that because I've been able to kind of chart my own course and say yes to things.
Ever said no?
No, not to the right things.
Here we go. You also offer business and nonprofits some unique advice. What's this niche?
Yeah. So informally for years, I've spent most of my career in nonprofit leadership in some form. And people kept reaching out to me on the side for advice and support. And I always say, I am happy to share with you what I have learned not to do. And so then my partner in Green Square Consulting and I worked together on a few projects when I was in my former role, and he's also a nonprofit director. And we kept saying, Mike, there is really something here. Like, as nonprofit leaders, this work is lonely. It is often uncharted. And then we were also looking at businesses, particularly small and mid-sized businesses who wanted to make a meaningful impact in their community beyond a profit. And we're like, how can we put something together where we are supporting the work of nonprofits and small businesses, helping them to build healthy, resilient teams, but also have a cross impact on each other and then on their communities. So that's what Green Square was born out of.
Much of your work is teamwork. How do you lead and what do you look for in your leaders?
Oh, I can't help but be 100% myself. So I would like to say that I lead with transparency and vulnerability. I really feel like my job as a leader is to be, I often compare it to a conductor. Like I have a beautiful symphony of people on our team that are really committed to our work. And so it's my privilege to be able to help them produce the best music and the best product and the best services, if you will. And product's a terrible word to use, but the best services.
Yes. Wonder who your best trumpeter is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And to, you know, be the best version of who they are so that they can better serve our clients, really.
How can we beat this cycle of sexual abuse in our kids?
It first has to start with an acknowledgement that it occurs in our neighborhoods and in our communities and in our backyards and sometimes in our front yard, sometimes and a lot of the time in our own homes. We first have to acknowledge that. And then we have to acknowledge that it is going to require a response, not just from the Children's Advocacy Center of Kent County, but from every parent, business, nonprofit, faith-based organization, school, medical provider. Everybody needs to get around it. It is a massive problem, and it's going to require a massive effort.
How can the community help Children's Advocacy Center of Kent County?
The community can help by being advocates themselves, I think, but most importantly, listening to children. If there's a child in your life that discloses abuse or who you expect is being abused, please call. There's a central intake 1-800 number through social or through DHHS, but you can also go online. Please do that or call law enforcement and make a report. I know a lot of people get caught up in, well, I'm not sure if it actually happened and I don't want to make things worse if it didn't. The good news is it's not your job to decide if it happened. It's the job of law enforcement and Child Protective Services and the courts, not yours. So please report it. You may be the only adult that listens to that child and you may make a huge difference in their life.
When did you jump on your first mountain bike?
Well, I've been riding bikes since I was 4 years old. Before I could even ride a bike, I ran away from my babysitter's house to go home and get my brand new bike that I couldn't quite ride yet because I loved it so much. And I grew up in rural Maine, so we made our own trails. So I would say for my entire life, but mountain biking specifically as an adult, probably for about 14 years.
Yes, obviously fostering your love of the outdoors. How do we get more girls into sports?
We are role models for them. You know, kids, I think everybody, are more inclined to try something if they can identify with other people who are doing it. And, you know, we really need to ensure that as weekend warriors or serious athletes or anybody that when we're out there that we're demonstrating the love of it and the fun and we're encouraging and we're open to other people trying. And, you know, we're not leaving people out by showing up with really expensive things and talking in terms that don't mean anything to the broader population, or we're showing people up or we're being bad stewards of the trail or we're displaying poor etiquette and being bad sports. That's not helpful to anything or anyone.
And you name your bikes, right?
You name your bikes.
All right, I'm going to go into some light Melissa fodder. An odd fondness for bland foods. Are you a white rice advocate here?
You know what? I actually really love spicy food, but I did grow up in New England. And, you know, we have a long, long, long tradition of pretty mainstay foods and diets and very practical foods that were, you know, hearty and oftentimes our spices growing up were salt and pepper.
I'm thinking New England clam chowder.
Clam chowder, sure. You know, baked beans, a lot of bland food, Shelley. but very practical foods and foods that were going to keep you nourished if you were out, you know, fishing in the ocean or farming the land or logging in the woods or otherwise exploring. So I lived in the Southwest for a long time, and I love spice and I love heat and peppers. But I will say that the most comforting foods to me are the foods that my grandmother used to make. And my grandmother grew up in the Depression. And so there are things like this dish called milk toast. And it was literally just...
That's a saying with a whole other conversation. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it was just, it's just like a white sauce with toast broken up in it and butter and salt and pepper. And to me, when I'm not feeling well or I'm really down, I want to eat just a big bowl full of milk toast.
Go girl. Now, my next light fodder, a wicked stubbornness to endure discomfort. We could take this seriously or comically. Yeah.
Also, I'd trace back to my roots in Maine. We are a hardy people. I love to put myself in situations that are uncomfortable. And I think that, you know, that is reflected in it, you know, having been an endurance, into endurance sports for a lot of my life. Or I really love a rainstorm or really cold, blowy winter day. I love to go out on my bike and run. The least comfortable, the better for me. I love to be out in that and know I can make it through that and then come inside and enjoy the warmth or a shower or a cup of coffee.
All of the above.
Yeah.
And you do aim to achieve the title World's Coolest Grandma. I think our conversation leads you there.
Oh, I do. I do. I was fortunate, blessed to become a grandmother probably quite early, comparatively speaking, and certainly earlier than I anticipated. But I have a six-year-old granddaughter, Delilah, who is the apple of my eye. And so I want to ensure that, you know, I'm up to snuff and, you know, in so much as coolness goes.
If you are highly skilled at delivering the best / worst puns, was there a history to this?
No, I think probably if any of our staff are listening to this, they'll groan when they hear that. I really do love the opportunity for a pun. And oftentimes you'll know that I have thought of one because I double over and start laughing 5 minutes before I can spit it out. And I think I'm funnier than everybody else, I'm sure. So that's a good indicator.
your love for adventure, but yet strongly fears heights. You're encountering snakes, bears, or alligators on a trail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I have a goal of I want to ride my bike in every state. I want to start with the U.S., but then move that on internationally, and have been fortunate to ride in a lot of really amazing places. I legitimately have a fear of encountering snakes, bears, and alligators. I don't let it hold me back, but it is really uncomfortable for me.
No, hence a fast rider you are. We laugh, we joke. Does humor play a part in your day job?
It has to, yeah. The work that we do is heavy, and it's oftentimes unimaginable in its horror and impact. And so, you know, part of my job is to help ensure that our team stays healthy and they take care of themselves and that we laugh a lot. And that is a critical part of not only doing our work well, but surviving our work.
Anything, any direction you would change thus far in your journey?
You know, no. I mean, I've certainly made a lot of mistakes, but I often think everything else is just like the icing on the cake. I've been able to do a lot of really amazing things, amazing to me, and experience a lot of different things because of the roles that I've had and the opportunities I've had, but also in the people that I've met and the places I've lived. So no,
In between mountain biking, business consulting, eating, wife, mom, grandma, reading books, you have one to recommend?
Oh, I have a million to recommend. Right now, I'm reading The Four Winds, and it is about a family from Texas during the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl, and they migrate to California. And it's really a lot about poverty and systems and ecology and a whole big bunch of things, being a mom and being a single mom. being a strong woman. It's resonating with me in a lot of ways. I'm thinking a lot about systems lately and poverty and the impact on our community and our kids. I'd recommend that, but I could give you 4,000 books that I love. I love to read.
Thank you for joining us on this edition of Powerful Woman Let's Talk, Melissa Workman.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at wgvu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.